We were talking about Tawbah, repentance. Now, I just want to mention one more hadith about Tawbah which carries significant context. And then we will move to our next topic, which would be patience. إِذَا طَالَ الْعَبْدُ تَوْبَةً نَسُوحًا. تَوْبَةً نَسُوح is a tawbah with in which there is no return. You do not usually, when you make a tawbah nasuh, it means you are not going to return to that sin anymore. إِذَا طَالَ الْعَبْدُ تَوْبَةً نَسُوحًا أَحَبَّهُ اللَّهُ فَسَتَرَ عَلَيْهِ فِي الدُّنْيَا والآخر. فقلت وكيف يستر عليه؟ قال ينسي ملكيه ما كتب عليه من الذنوب. ثم يوحي إلى جوارحه اقسمي عليه ذنوبه ويوحي إلى بقاع العرض اقسمي عليه ما كان يعمل عليك من الذنوب. فيلقى الله حين يلقاه وليس شيء يشهد عليه بشيء من الذنوب. Okay, this is a very famous hadith actually, which is in Kafi, and we have many ahadith in this effect. Of course, it's on Muawiyah ibn Wahab, which is of course a very, very trustworthy person, unlike Muawiyah himself, not Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. It says, I heard Abu Abdullah alayhi salam says, when a servant turns to God with sincere repentance, tawbatan nasuha, God loves him and covers him, i.e. his sin. In the world, sorry.
Does anybody ever care for Yahweh Sunnah?
Al Qaeda thing. Covers him in the world and the hereafter. I said, and how does he cover him? The Imam replied, he makes the two angels assigned to write his deeds forget that which they have written of his sins. Then he inspires his bodily members, saying, do conceal his sins. And he inspires the earth places, saying, conceal the sins that he used to commit over you. Then he meets God at a time that he meets him in such a manner that there is nothing to give witness against him regarding any sin. Now, what the hadith wants to say is that when you repent, when someone repents, the complete consequences, and not only the consequences, the very action itself is recovered or is obliterated, is removed from him. And the angels who write it will forget it. The earth on which that sin is committed will conceal it. The limbs, the bodily parts would conceal it. Now, there is a very nice concept in this. But we have to explore this hadith with some introduction. I want to ask you, you know that these, all these things, the angels, the earth on which a person commits a sin, and the bodily parts are going to witness on the day of judgment against him. Now, why should they witness if Allah knows everything himself? Why should these things witness? You know that prophets also witness, testify against. Why should all these things testify against someone if Allah knows everything? وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا, isn't it? In the Quran we have, Allah is sufficient as a testifier, as a witness. So why should all these things witness? And then, why should Allah one by one conceal or tell them to conceal a sin? Any idea?
For us to understand the
Well, would we not believe if Allah tells us? No? Well, even when Allah tells, I mean, that's the highest type of yaqeen. No, but this world is different from that world. That world, the witness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the final world. These are petty witnesses, so to speak. The witness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above. Yeah.
But also that it also looks stages in terms of when certain body parts speak, and then they maybe grade and then what your sins are, and that in terms of level, and that when certain body parts symbolically speak, for example, the eyes, the sins of the eyes, what we see, the sins of the mouth, what we speak, and in terms of the severity of Allah, requires your body part to speak, and then the various levels of your misdeed.
Now, what does it mean that they bear witness? You mean, because bearing witness something should know. I mean, it's not just that they speak on that day. They have to have intelligence on this day so that they can listen, and then they produce a testification on that day. Are they alive? I mean, our body parts. Are they alive? Yes.
Is there the thing that on that day you become the sum of your actions? And so when you want to ask yourself, why am I in this situation, then you ask yourself, well, this is why you're here.
Now, this is a very.
You are those actions.
Yeah, this is a very good point. Now, when you say your actions are going to consent you on the world, and this is what Quran testifies, it is the action that comes back, not a written thing, not a shahada, it's your action coming. Now, what does it mean that action comes back? What is that? Suppose, when I'm going out, suppose this is not mine, I just, without you noticing, it's still in my pocket and go. And this is what we regard as what? As a scene, isn't it? So, what is this action that comes back to? What part of it comes back to? And it's not so horrible, is it?
Mm-hmm. Within Ma'an, there was one hadith where people, when they were resurrected, they were resurrected in the form of an animal which would depict the kind of sins that they did on this earth.
Okay.
So maybe Allah will then conceive those things that depict that face of the animal. He will not be raised in that manner. Because people will be raised in those animals as those animals, and the others will know that this is the type of thing he needs to commit.
Yeah. But the sin is in itself is there. Or the sin will go away with it.
The sin
will say the marks of it will go away.
Yeah.
The marks of the sin.
The marks of the sin, yes. The manifestation of
the sin. But what about the sin itself?
Well, Allah has forgiven, hasn't he? If he has forgiven, then the sin would have gone away. Although we did it, we say that when you do it so far, is it that the sin remains for Allah? Is the dot remaining, or does it all get washed away completely? And we said it does.
So what is that action which is washed away? What is it? I mean, this act of a stealing. I mean, if this is mine, you see, if I take it and go and it's mine, no one would object. It's not sin. Now, if this is not mine and I take it and go, I have committed exactly the same thing. I mean, in appearance, there is nothing wrong with it. Unless you know that this is not my property, and I know that this is not my property, then it would find another form. Otherwise, it's completely the same thing. So, what is the ugly side of this, which is going to come back to me?
The spot on your heart.
The spot on my heart. Okay. Anything with you, please, a spot on our heart.
Because Allah says nothing comes back to you except you find it.
Yeah.
So, that is not so
similar. A spot would come on the heart. But on the other hand, we have in many other rawayat and ayat that your actions will come back to you, and you will see them. وَوَجَدُوا مَا عَمِلُوا حَاضِرًا. They will see whatever they have not said, and they will witness and they will experience it. يَوْمَ حَبْلُوا كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا أَسْلَفَتْ. They wear the day, every soul will experience what they have done. Touch it. It's just close to them. Very close. So, this action, or say action of killing, I mean, a doctor may kill 5 people every day on the operation, and he's done a good thing. And a murderer might kill 1 person in his lifetime, and the blemish is going to remain on him. But the act of killing is the same. I mean, it uses the, probably the same instrument, the same means. So what is that action?
It all depends on the intention.
Okay, intention. Yeah, of course, it's all intention. But we say that the action itself is conduct. Action. But action. What is action? That comes back to me. Yes.
Is it not the case that this world is the darkest side of another realm, which is laughing, and that every one of our actions
interaction you had and what you created yourself, you come back to them. وَجَدُوا مَا عَمِلُوا حَاضِرًا. They will find present what they did. Now, I think we had a good inspiration here. What we do here has another form in another world. The realm of Nikar, the realm of Qiyam. In the Quran we have إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ الْيَتَامَ ظُلْمًا إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا. Those who eat up the property of the orphans, they are eating fire. They don't know. Now, the act of eating is the same. I mean, so long as you do not know this is the property of an orphan and you are eating it unjustly, the eating is the same. But Allah says, if it belongs to an orphan and you're eating it unjustly, then the manifestation, the other side, the other appearance, shape of this action is higher than he eats. It is that very fire that comes back to you. For whatever reason, for example, marriage and adultery. If you don't know the social relationships, they are not very much different. But the very act of marriage, the very relationship of marriage, would make everything simple. Otherwise, you are going to meet a very, very ugly appearance in the other world if you come with the person, if you go with the person all the way. So, they have reality, they have entity, not just in the mind, they have entity and reality. And these realities and entities are not known for us here. Of course, they are with us. وَكُلَّ إِنْسَانٍ أَزَّلْنَاهُ طَائِرَهُ فِي أُنْفِهِ. Every human being that his actions are in around their neck, okay? And they are carrying them, they don't know it. On the day of judgment, we open it for them. And they will see. Now, if this is the case, if the action is a real thing, it's not just the act of forgiving that Allah says, okay, I know. It doesn't work this way. I know what you have done. No, your action is there. Your action should be destroyed if you and I have a sin. the sin is a reality, an action, a being which is coming with you, and Allah is destroying it. And when He destroys it, and this is a very, very huge favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He takes that action away. يُكَفِّرُ عَنْهُمْ أَيَّاهُمْ. You cover them and take them away. إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيَّاهُ. Who sees you to remove that thing? You take them away. This is what God does for good people. For bad people, He and I highlight their good actions. حَدَثَتْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ. Whatever they have done will go like dust. Allah فَقَدِمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ حَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا. Whatever good they have done, we hand to them, we make it like a carpet dust. Because good action also has an appearance. Now the person who goes to Jahannam cannot take with that those good appearances into Jahannam. They cannot go to Jahannam. So Allah says, we will take them, remove them from them. And they go to Jahannam without their good action. Certainly they should. The action has a reality. Now, therefore, Allah should actually remove all of them. And if He removes it, if He removes it, then there is nothing to be witnessed, nothing to be testified about. But here it says that Allah it would make those angels to forget. Okay, when the action is taken, the angel will forget it. Because there is no action in it. It's just like the memory being clean. And then to the part of the body that you should conceive whatever you have done. Now the question is, why all these different stages of testing in the heart? Of course, because you should know. But there's another part to it. When you say Allah witnesses, how He witnesses? Using detailed knowledge. And all these things are different levels of detailed knowledge. I mean, the knowledge that I have is somehow a detailed knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Part of the knowledge my hand has is the same thing. So, He would, when He forgives, everything He forgets that action. It goes away completely. It removes it from reality. And when He removes it from reality, then there's nothing that could remember it. Everything is completely concealed. And, of course, that is a great favor that Allah does to mu'minun. Is there any question about this? Yes?
You answered how the actions are going to be manifested. But you were asking the question, why is that necessary when Allah is the final witness? Why do we need the witness?
Yeah, I said these are actually different levels of Allah's detailed knowledge. So when Allah says, I witness, it means my prophet's witness, my angel's witness, the earth's witness, your hand's witness. These are all different levels of details of Allah's knowledge. And it will be much more detailed than this, of course, in reality. So detailed that everyone would find that in a very, very embarrassing situation. Because this is a detailed aspect of Allah's knowledge. So Allah's knowledge, these knowledges are not separate from Allah's knowledge. That's how it works. Okay, now a very famous hadith, which I think some of you alluded to the other day, that it is reported from Nahjul Balagha that someone said Astaghfirullah before Amir al-Mu'mineen, and Ali alayhi salam said to him, may thy mother mourn for thee. Probably he knew what type of istighfar he was doing, just as a mention of mouth. Do you know what is istighfar? Verily, istighfar is the degree of the al-liyum. And it is a word that means six things. Ala sattati ma'amin. It means six concepts are involved in every istighfar. The first, awwaluha an-nadamu ala ma madha. The first is remorse over the past. So, if there's no regret, there is no istighfar. There should be a regret before there is an istighfar. And الثاني العزم على ترك العودة. The second is the resolution not to return to it forever. So there is a regret, there is a resolve. The third is أن تؤدي إلى المخلوقين حقوقهم حتى تلقى الله سبحانه أملا ليس عليك سلاح. To return to the creatures the right you thought in the past, so that you meet God Almighty in such a state of purity that no one has a claim against. Four, أن تعمد إلى كل فريضة عليك ضيعتها فتؤدي حقها. That you fulfill every duty that was neglected by you in order to satisfy your obligation neglected. الخامس أن تعمد إلى اللحم الذي نبت على السوق فتذيبه بالأحضان حتى تلصق الجلد بالعظم. That you attend to the flesh of your body that had grown on unlawful nourishment so that it melts away as a result of grief and mourning and the skin adheres to the bone. It means the regret should be so great that you mourn for whatever you have done. Like Adam alayhi salam, that he cried for 40 years of what he had done in the Jannah, in that garden. And six, that you make your body taste the pain of obedience in the same way as it tasted earlier the pleasure of sinfulness. This is for a very, very indulgent person, of course. If an indulgent person wants to return and repent, these are the conditions. Now let's look at them. Yeah, as soon as you repent, Allah will forgive you. But these are the conditions.
Yeah, but that is even if you go back to the sin, and you return to the sin, you should not have this, or something like that.
You mean even if you do it again?
That
could be
enough,
right?
No.
Yeah, of course.
Because you are
turning
and
alive
so much.
Of course. Now. Of course. But you cannot do Tawbah without having the resolve not to return. That's not Tawbah at all. But suppose you have the resolve, but something happened later on. And you change your mind. We don't say that your Tawbah was not at all. You have done the Tawbah. But you have slipped again, and you have to go back again. But these elements, now, let me explain this. You see, there are two main elements here. Resolve and remorse.
Okay.
When you want to make tawbah, first of all, you have to regret for what you have. And if you do not regret, how do you want to go back? And if you do not have a resolve not to return, it's not tawbah at all. It's just ridiculing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not tawbah. However, after that remorse and resolve, something might happen next week, and you want to slip again. The tawbah has actually taken place, but you are in the first place again. And you have to make another tawbah. Now Allah says, "Inna Allah yuhibbu tawwabin," isn't it? What does that mean? "Inna Allah yuhibbu tawwabin." It doesn't. Tawwab means someone who does tawbah very much. So it means that it's not that once you make tawbah in your life and you never do anything else. But it means that all of us live all the time, and you have to really regret and have resolve. So remorse over the past, the resolution not to return to it ever, forever. To return to the creatures they write, okay, this is also very clear. And if you do tawbah from stealing, you have to return what you have stolen to its owner. Otherwise, there's no tawbah. fourthly, fulfill every duty that was neglected by you. I mean, someone who doesn't pray, and they do Torah, they have to do all the prayers that they have lost, they have missed. As qaza for it, they have to make up for that. And this is also very clear. Now, it seems to, this one, which is very controversial, the sixth one is clear as well. Make your body taste the pain of obedience, as it tasted earlier the pleasure of sinfulness. Because for a sinful person, say for example, it's very difficult to pass. Especially if, for example, they used to smoke and to drink and all these things. So, Amirul Mu'minin says, you have to make your body taste the pain of obedience. Of course, for someone like Amirul Mu'minin, obedience has no pain. Or for a good moment, obedience has no pain at all. But for a sinful person, obedience is pain. And Amirul Mu'minin said, you have to taste, make your body taste the pain of obedience, as it tasted earlier the pleasure of sinfulness. This goes for those people who have eaten up unjustly, the property of orphans, of poor people, those people who especially at that time worked in high offices and they had monopolized everything for themselves. So their tawbah would have been much more difficult than an ordinary person. So without these six conditions, tawbah doesn't taste good. You can try it. I mean, if God forbid someone does a sin and he goes during the night and says, Astaghfirullah Rabbi, wa atubu ilayh, I return, I repent. And he has in his mind that tomorrow he wants to go and do it again. Tawbah doesn't taste good. So the resolve should be there. The remorse should be there. If you commit a sin and you say, oh Allah, because you say, I don't do it, but I think it's a very good thing. Why do you tell me not to do it? But I don't do it. Okay. So there's no tawbah. There's no tawbah. Yeah. So what is the point that is controversial here you are mentioning? Maybe I was very easy going.
You said everybody will go to Jannah. That's it.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Did I say that?
No.
All because the Quran says many people go to Jahannam, so probably I have.
I'm contrary to it by saying that if you do istighfar, Allah will forgive you. If you do it again, now you can't istighfar without being.
I didn't say everybody. I said all of you. I didn't say everybody will go to Jannah. Did I?
Eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is the same as
Qabir
Qun or is it something else?
Al-Liyun are people who are very, something like Qabir Qun. Highly stationed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the literal meaning. Highly stationed.
That's what the word means.
Yeah, highly stationed.
No, because my question to you was
You fall into it again, alright?
And you still, and it's hard to come back to this because you get out of that, and that's consistency, well, not consistency, but as you see that happening,
now you tell me. When a person repents from the sin, don't these two, especially these two, okay, these are somehow subsidiary conditions. These two, remorse and resolve. This is the word, okay? That's the meaning of repentance, is remorse and resolve. Now, when that person who you know is going to fall into that pitfall again, okay, makes a tawbah, does he do it with these two elements or not?
Yes.
He does. So this is tawbah. Now, you say again he falls into that, and again he regrets, and he wants to go back with resolve. And again he does it. Should Allah accept you or not? According to his standard, he says yes. According to what he says in the world, he says yes. Now, he does it for the third time. And again he regrets, he has resolved, he comes back. Now, suppose this repeats itself 10 times. After 10 times, in the 11th time, say, can he have resolve anymore? He knows that he's going to fall into that again. So the resolve is gone away. Therefore, no, tawbah is not possible anymore if someone repeats all the time something. And, I mean, from the experience he learned that it's not possible for him to refrain. So, the element of tawbah, which is resolve not to go back to it, would go away. So the tawbah would not become possible anymore. And therefore, there's no tawbah, there's no repentance, how Allah should accept. But if these two elements materialize and a person does tawbah 1,000 times, it is accepted, it's tawbah.
The third one is to return to the future. They write that he was exiled by coming. They mean you can ask
forgiveness. Yes, you have to ask for forgiveness, except if that would arose somehow fitna or disorder or something like that, which in this case you have to do istighfar for them. And doing istighfar for them, asking forgiveness for them, actually compensates for what you have done against. Yeah.
How is number 5 different? Because if you do 3, 4 and 6, then the same thing as number 5. What's the
same thing? That's the way the unlawful nourishment. You see, this is for someone whose whole bones and flesh are made out of unlawful nourishment. Otherwise, for example, occasionally, once or twice, someone has done something, has eaten something which is unlawful. It's not nourishment actually. It doesn't go as part of the flesh and body.
Okay, so if a person is this person, but if he returns to the future of their life and he fulfills his duty and he makes the body takes the obedience, then he's done everything. Then why is number 5 there? It seems superfluous.
Is that to do with things like haram risk?
Now, haram, say for example, drinking wine, eating pork and all these things, and the whole body is grown out of that. He has to melt it down and regrow it again.
What about a new convert?
No, converts are different. Al-Islam yadubu ma qabla. Islam would make up for whatever goes before it. So as soon as someone becomes a Muslim, all the past is neglected. And that's why.
So why Allah cannot do the same? Why do you need to go to that stage?
Because you had the favor of Islam.
No, I didn't.
And أَفَمَنْ يَعْلَمُ كَمَنْ لَا يَعْلَمُ.
No, but you're doing number one.
You did it, but
it wasn't sin, probably. It wasn't sin. In ignorance, you did it.
Sin suggests, number 5, that there is a physical net to that sin, which you're trying to get away from.
Yes,
so for a new convert, would that...
No, converts are different, because you see, eating pork for Christians, although in real Christians it was haram, but now it's not haram for them, why? Now, in fact, they haven't done anything haram. And of course, it will take time because of that type of scripture that they have, construction that they have, to gradually learn about the concept of Islam and Christianity. They are different from someone who has been brought up with Islam, with food and all these things. It will take time, but they don't need to make up for anything because they were not Muslim. And I tell you, if a Muslim, they are, for example, 40 years old, who hasn't done any about that, if he repents and he wants to become a good Muslim, 25 years salat and 55 months passed, he has been in power. But if a convert of 40 years converts to Islam, they don't have to do anything. And that means that whatever has gone in the past is forgiven. That's a bonus for the master.
That's the spirituality. I'm talking about the physical nature.
Physicalness, well, the same thing. Unless if they have done something which is wrong in their own religion as well. I mean, this physicalness, I mean, people like this have been very violent. That all the body is grown out of unlawful things. And therefore, you see, for example, in your question, even if, for example, they have eaten of the property of an orphan, okay, for example, an orphan had £1,000,000, and they have taken it, and all what they have eaten from the beginning of their life comes from the property of that orphan. Now, they might return the money to him, but still the body has grown out of that unlawful food. And that's why they have to melt it down. And of course, it's a very, very strict condition, which I don't know, which is something Amirul Mu'min is trying to say, that the situation is very hard, so try not to do such things. Yeah.
But the spiritual and the physical are completely interlinked. For example, you gave the example of picking up something that is not yours and something that is yours. In the same way, for example, if you eat meat, beef, if that animal is stuck in a halal way, there is a spiritual significance that does affect your physical. Mm-hmm. In the same way, if it wasn't stuck in halal, that even like the same piece of meat, There is a link between the physical and the spiritual. So in that respect, if the condom was to give him spiritually, it's a clean plate, that's what I was imagining.
So why not the meat?
Because of the fact that spiritually you wouldn't be forgiven until you've actually gone through that process.
Yes.
You were saying that it's a clean plate.
What's the connection between this and the Eliyun? I mean, the Eliyun will never have to do this. But if you do all this, you become the Eliyun.
Well, Eliyun always do a
safar. But they never do this.
No. So if someone wants to reach that, now this is correct. He says this is a degree of Eliyun. So do not think that you can reach that degree of istikhar just without doing anything hard. These are the conditions of it, that if you fulfill, then you reach that degree of istighfar which puts you somehow parallel to Eliyun. For someone who hasn't done any of these things, of course, istighfar is there, because we know Prophet is istighfar, isn't it? All Ahmad is istighfar. This is the degree of Eliyun. Now, if you want to do istighfar and you are like this, you have to cover for all, you have to make up for all this, and then you reach that degree of istighfar. Istighfar is not a simple thing to do. Okay. If there is no question, then we go to our next topic, which is patience. Okay. Okay, definition of patience. Nasiruddin al-Tusi, sabr or patience means restraining the self from agitation when confronted with undesirables. And Khaja Abdullah al-Ansari, sabr means restraining the self from complaints about hidden anguish. Now, when a calamity comes, whether you have patience or you do not have patience, it will come and pass by. And you could not do anything about it. Therefore, both these greatest scholars have actually defined sabr or patience as an internal quality of the heart. It is internal quality, isn't it? It means you endure, you tolerate the calamities or whatever will come to you with good heart. And that would, of course, indicate of the type of good view that you have about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, patience is an internal quality of the heart. Now, hidden anguish means there is something in your heart which is annoying you, and no one knows that you are being annoyed by it. And this is what needs patience, actually.
So when people get angry, they annoy you, actually.
Yeah.
Something
happens, and if you hide it, you are sabur, you are patient, mm-hmm. And if you show it, you are impatient. This is the difference. Okay. Now, it is very, very important. We have in this surah. Surah Al-As, إِنَّ الْإِنْسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. So, human beings are in loss, except those who believe and do good, and they enjoin on each other truth, and enjoin on each other patience. So patience is something which actually excludes someone from being in loss. Now we have in one hadith that as-sabru min al-iman kar-ra's min al-jasad. I don't think I have it here. The relationship of sabr with iman, patience with faith, is like the relationship of head with body. So if head goes, a person would die, body would not persist anymore. And if patience goes, faith would not persist. Faith would go. Iman would go. So it is a very, very important part of faith. Now Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said the rank of patience for faith, this is the hadith, is as same as the rank of the head for the body. So if the head is gone, the body is gone, and similarly, if patience is gone, faith is gone. So we have to see why it is so important, patience, because we can be impatient and faithful as well. So why is it so important that you should have patience to keep your faith aligned? Now Imam Ali alayhi salam says, faith is built on four main things. Certainty, patience, jihad, and justice. This is a very famous saying of Nahj al-Balagha. And you have it here. I think it is in page 217. It says, الإيمان على أربع دعائم على الصبر واليقين والعدل والجهاد. Faith is built on four things. On sabr, the first thing. Patience. واليقين. والعدل والجهاد. Certainty, and justice and jihad, perseverance or whatever we translate. Now, of course, we are not going to discuss about certainty, jihad and justice. Patience. What does he say about patience? I don't think I have brought it here. And then he says, patience is built on four branches, on four pillars itself. عَلَى الشَّوْقِ وَالشَّفَقِ وَالزُّهْدِ وَالتَّرَقُّ. On eagerness, fear, abstention, and anticipation of death. Now, 217. Now, I want you to read this hadith for next week, because it's a very, very important and informative hadith. And then we'll discuss the content of the hadith, inshallah, in the beginning of our next session. What's the time, sorry? Oh, okay. So, if you go through the hadith for next week, then we'll continue with it. Thank you.